Okay, everybody, Shalom Aleichem. Today's daf is Psachim daf Yud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah here on Yud Amud Beis, about, I don't know, about 10 lines up from the bottom. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, Bodkin or Yud Dalet, we check, we do Bedika on the night of the 14th, Uvi Yud Dalet Shachris, and on the 14th in the morning, Uvi Shas Habir, and at the time when you're supposed to burn Chametz. So at first glance, it seems to imply that Rabbi Yehuda says we do three Bedikos, one at night, one in the morning, and then once during the time of Bior, obviously, we don't do that, and the Gemara is going to reject that, but that seems to be what he means. The Chachamim say, Lo Badak or Yudalid, if you didn't check on the night of the 14th, then Yivdok Bi Yudalid, you should check on the 14th. Lo Badak Bi Yudalid, if you didn't check on the 14th, Yivdok Betoch HaMoed, you should check, quote unquote, during the Moed, during the holiday, and we're going to, in 1 second, I'll explain what that means. Lo badak betocha Moed, if you didn't check during the holiday, yivdok lachar Moed, you should check after the holiday, or after the time. And whatever you leave over, yanichenu betzina, meaning after you, presumably, if you do the bedika on Leil Yudalit, in the proper time, right, you're still allowed to eat chametz until the next day. So whatever you got left over from chametz, leave it in a private place, kadesh lo yitzarach bedika acharav, so you don't need to do another check, another bedika afterwards, right? Like we saw yesterday, all these fakos and these scenarios where you'd have to do another bedika potentially. So make sure to hide your chametz and keep it guarded. What is this shita of the chachamim that says if you didn't check, you should check on the moed, and if you didn't check on the moed, you should check after the moed? So this is a machlokes between Rashi and Tosos. Tosos has the simple approach. We'll just explain what Rashi says. Rashi says that betoch ha-moed means that you should check the moed is the time mishei shaus lamala ajatech shach, the time in which chametz is aser, and the achar ha-moed meaning during that time when the time of burning is happening. Shalosha lachar moed, and after the time, literally after the time, is mishei shalos v'lamala shtechshach, is the seventh hour and on up until erev, up until the leil haseder. Meaning that according to Rashi, the chachamim's shita is you should check at night. If you don't check at night, check in the morning. If you don't check then, you should check during the time to burn the chametz. If you don't check then, you should check during the time after the time to burn the chametz, meaning up until Pesach. Toso says that no, the simple pshat is that if you don't check on Erev Pesach, you should check on Pesach, and if you should you don't check on Pesach, you should still check after Pesach. As the Toso says, what's the point of doing B'dikas chametz after Pesach? So simply to find any chametz she'avar alav Pesach. We know if there's any chametz that passed through Pesach in your possession, you are not allowed to eat it after Pesach. So that would be the purpose of a bedika after Pesach. Right? Tosos' understanding is much simpler, simply because why would the Mishnah change the language of what they're referring to? Right? Rabbi Yehuda said you should check at night, or and biyudal shachas uvishas habir, and at the time of burning. Well, if betoch hamoed refers to vishas habir, why did the Mishnah change its language if it's referring to the same thing? So Tosos' pshat is much more mistaver, but there are answers. There are answers for Rashi, but not for now. Okay. Either way, so that's the machlokes in the Mishnah between Rabbi Yehuda and the Chachamim. Says the Gemara, my time by the Rabbi Yehuda. What's Rabbi Yehuda's shita? Meaning, similarly understanding, meaning, why would you need to do three bedikos? That's the Gemara initially understands. So Rav Chisda, Rav Bar, Rav Huna, Damri Tarbayo, they both explain, Keneged Shlosha Hashbasos Shabbat Torah. There are three times, excuse me, that the Torah says to get rid of your chametz. Lo yireh lecha chametz v'lo yireh lecha seor, that's one. Shivas yomim seor lo yimatzei bevateichem, that's two. And ach b'yom harishon tashbisu seor mevateichem, that's three. So Masiv, Rav Yosef asked the following question. 1 second. Rabbi Yehuda Omer kol shalo bodek b'shlosha prakim halalu shuv eno bodek. Rabbi Yehuda says if you haven't checked during these three times, you do not do any more checking. Alma, apparently, what do you see? That mikan ve'ilach hu depligi. What's the shot here? Meaning, meaning that the machlokes is only afterwards, right? Meaning they all, the chachamim also agree, right, that, you should check during those three times. Right? Apparently, you see from the language of the Mishnah, it seems to imply that, the machlokes is afterwards, not during the Zmanim that Rabbi Yehuda listed, right? The Chachamim agree that you should check at night, and if you don't check at night, you should check in the morning. If you don't check in the morning, you should check B'shas HaBir. The only thing that the Chachamim add, seemingly, is checking after the beer, right? And Marzutta, so meaning that seems to imply that they're arguing about times and when you should do the check, not whether you should do three of them, Right? That could, again, it's not like the Chachamim said you should only check at night. Right? The Chachamim gave you four options, right? Implying that it's not the amount of bedikos that you need to do. It's simply talking about the time period. Mar Zutra taught this way, that this was the actual question that Rav Yosef asked. Mazav Rav Yosef, Rav Yudah Omer, Kol Shalom Bodak Echad Mishloj Brakam Alalu, Shoveinu Bodek, right? It's much more explicit. Right? The Brisa says that Rav Yehudah says anybody who didn't check once during those three times doesn't need to check anymore. So Amal B'Shoveinu Bodek Huda Pligi. So you see that the Machlokes is, right, whether you have to check after that time, after the Shasabir, if you didn't do it during that time. So therefore, Ella Rabbi Yehuda Nami Imlo Bada Kamar. So that's, again, that's what Rabbi Yehuda is saying. He's saying that if you didn't check during these times, you should then check during the next time, and the next time, and the next time. The Machlokas is not how many times you need to check, but the Machlokas is Mar Savar Mikame Sura in Basar Sura Lo, right? That the Rabbi Yehuda holds that if you did it before this man, meaning if you did the Bedika before this man Isser, so then that's fine, that's good Bedika, but afterwards, right, then there's no reason to do a bedika, but why not? Because gzeira dilma asi lemichla mine, because you may come to eat the chametz, right? If you do a bedika's chametz after it's time to burn it, so and after it's asr, so then you may come to, you know, pop a couple in your mouth, and that is obviously a problem. As a rabban savri lokas, we know that rabban are not concerned about this, therefore they say you can do a gzeira. You can do a bedika. Umi gazer Rabbi Yehuda dilma asi lemichla mine. Now the Gemara is going to ask a bunch of questions on Rabbi Yehuda from a bunch of topics. I mean, it's the same question, but from a couple of places. Does Rabbi Yehuda really say that since you can't eat something, you therefore are not allowed to handle it? I mean, that's what we're saying, that Rabbi Yehuda's shita is after the time of chametz is usher, you're not allowed to do bedika. Does he really hold like this? Fatanai was under the Mishnah, Mishakara va'omer yotzin umotzin shukin yushalayim shem meleim kemach dekali. Just a little background, right? There's something called chadash. That literally means new, that new grain, produce from the new grain, the new crop, is not allowed to be consumed until you bring the Korban Omer in Yerushalayim. That was the Korban Omer was brought on the second day of Pesach from some barley, and that was basically, that was the, from whenever that was brought, then all of the new grain and all the new crops, the barley, the wheat, etc., was allowed to partake of. So that's what the Mishnah says. Once the Omer was brought, that you would go into the marketplaces in Yerushalayim, right, and you'd find that they're filled with flour, and kali is like toasted grain and stuff. But you would find it was filled with stuff. Right? Meaning, it was like the stock market bell hits, and everything is there. Right? It's like after Pesach, right? As soon as the Zman is over, right, immediately the pizza stores are open. And so basically that's what happened. Meaning, right after they brought the Korban Omer, all of a sudden, magically, there was a ton of produce in the marketplace. And that was Shalom Baratzen Chachamim, Div Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says the Chachamim were not happy with this. Because, the stuff doesn't appear there. It doesn't appear there by itself, right? It means that people were handling this produce and processing it, etc., right? Way before the time when it was mutter. So the Chachamim were not happy with this because they were concerned that people may come to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, this is our question. But Ratzon Chachamim Hayosim. No, it was fine. All the Chachamim were fine with it. And Rabbi Yehuda does not go there. He's not concerned that people may come to eat it. So that's a steer against Rabbi Yehuda. Our case, right? Our Mishnah says that Rabbi Yehuda is concerned he may come to eat the chametz. Therefore, we don't do a bediga after this man iser. Now, this price is also against the Chachamim, because the Chachamim said we're not concerned you may come to eat it, and here the Chachamim said that we are concerned that you may come to eat it. So the Gemara will address that in a second. But right now we're concerned with Rabbi Yehuda. So what's the deal? Is Rabbi Yehuda concerned with people coming to eat things that they're handling, right, if the item they're handling is usher, or is he not concerned? So Rava, I think it's Rabba. Yeah, it changes it to Rabba. Either way, Shani Chadash Midok Shalo Hatartalo Ela Alide Kiduf. So therefore, who's Zocher? Meaning, since the only, what did they do, in, according to this Brisa? Meaning, Lo Hitarta, they only allowed them to gather it, Mishum Kituf, with some sort of Shinoi. Meaning, they weren't reaping it, they were taking it by hand. So, before the Omer is brought, so it's Asr also to handle the produce in the field as well. Meaning, you're not allowed to do Kotzer, you're not allowed to reap the new grain either. So basically what they were doing, they were picking it by hand. They weren't picking it with a sickle or whatever it was. So therefore, since there was some sort of shinoi, so therefore, who's Zocher, therefore he will remember not to eat the food that they are handling, so therefore that's why it was mutter. Amalei Abaye, okay, so Abaye says, Tenach b'shas ketifa. So, okay, fine, that's fine when you're reaping it, when you're taking it with your hand, so that's fine. But tchina v'harkada, but if you're grinding it up and sifting it, meaning you're making flour, right? We mentioned that you're making flour. So what about the other steps in the process? What are you going to say? So the Gemara says, yeah, in those stages, they also had a shinoi. They would grind it by hand instead of a machine or a mill or whatever it is. And they would use the back of the sieve, not the, you know, meaning they would turn the sifter upside down, and that would be a shinoi. That's how they would, you know, I guess, filter out and sift the flour. So apparently they had a shinoi, and that's why it was mutter. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he wasn't concerned that they were going to eat it, because there's shinuyim, there's some sort of differences along the whole process, and the people will remember not to eat it. Ela, hadit nan, but 1 second, kotzrin beis ha-shlochin, uva mokim, avalo gochin. Literally this means that they were allowed to reap the fields in the valleys. It's not, as Rashi explains, before the Korban Omer, but you're not allowed to pile the grain together. If you look at Rashi over here, where is it? Shel Beis HaMakim. If you look at Rashi, he quotes the pasuk. Where is it? Right. Meaning, if you write straight across, Rashi Dibur Maskel Shel Beis HaMakim. So Tvuah Higdila Bein HaMakim. It's talking about grain that's growing between the valleys, right? In the valley between. I guess that's between the valleys, but it must be in the valleys, right? Between the valleys is the mountain, right? Okay, so either way, the time of Mefarsh Hashlam is there. It says over there because Kosov, the pasuk says Uksartem Esaksira Veheritem. You're allowed to reap the stuff and then bring the korban omer. Alma mutter liktzor kodem haomer. Right? Apparently, you see, it's mutter to reap with a sickle. Right? You don't need to do it. They didn't do a shinoi, meaning you're not doing a shinoi. So you see that they're not changing, you're not picking it with their hand, right? This Mishnah, or Brisa, Mishnah, right, it must be a Mishnah. Mishnah in, right, Menachos, yeah, okay, that makes sense. So the Mishnah is saying that you're allowed to reap it with the kalim, with the utensils, not only by hand. So your whole Shinoi thing gets thrown out the window. Sorry, then one more step, which is important, is Ve'okimna Ked Rabbi Yehuda. Right? And we say that that Mishnah is like Rabbi Yehuda. So if that's Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, so there's no Shinoi going on here, so why is that mutter? Why is Rabbi Yehuda not concerned that they're going to eat from the grain? So it's my Kilamemer, what are you going to say? So Alam Rabbi, Abai says, Chodesh is different than Chametz. Why is Chodesh different than Chametz? Because chadash badil minei, chametz lo badil minei. Because chametz, a person is removed from it, right? Badil is lashon havdala, right? You're separated from it. By chadash, people know. Right? Back in, nowadays, obviously, not so common for people to be machmir about this, but even though they kind of really should. But either way, chadash nowadays, chadash back in the day, everybody was refrained from eating the new grain until the Korban Omer. It's like nobody eats chametz on the 8th day or the 7th day in Eretz Yisrael. They're used to, okay, this is the halacha. As soon as the end of Pesach is done, then we can have chametz. So the same thing like Korban Omer. No one ever ate chadash before they brought on the second day of Pesach, before they brought the Korban Omer. So people were already separated from it. They were not concerned they're going to spoon it into their mouths. But chametz, what are we coming? What's chametz? Chametz is, we're at the end of the heter, meaning chametz is going to be usher in a couple hours. But we've been accustomed to eating chametz for 300 and, I don't know, however, 40 whatever days. So that's why people are not separated from chametz, and therefore we're concerned that people will pop it in their mouth without thinking. Amar Rava, Rava says, Rabbi Yehuda kasha, and Rabban lo kasha. Right, so the Gemara says, why is there no question? Meaning, you just solved the Rabbi Yehuda thing. But what about the Rabbanan? Right, there was lo kasha, meaning the question is, there's no question according to the Rabbanan? Right, Rabbi Yehuda, there would be lo kasha, because there's shnina. So we just explained Rabbi Yehuda that is not a problem, because chadash is something that you're not removed from. You are removed from, and chametz something you're not removed from, so we're concerned that you might eat the chametz, but we're not concerned you eat the chadash. What about the Rabbanan? The Rabbanan say the opposite. Right? The Rabbanan not meal kasha, so it's still not a problem, because who atzmo maxer al v'sorfo mecha ka'achaminei. The Gemara said, 1 second, what is the process here? What are you trying to do? By the chadash, you're trying to gather it in to eat it. Right, because it's about to become mutter. So you're processing it in order to eat it. By chametz, what are you doing? You're searching for it to destroy it. So we're not, according to the Chachamim, the process is completely different. By the process, by chadash, may lend you to come and eat something because you're preparing it for eating. By chametz, you're preparing it for destruction. So people are going to remember that they're not allowed to eat chametz. The whole thing you're doing is to destroy the chametz so people will remember. Okay. Ravashi, Amar Ravashi says a little bit differently, a different answer. Rabbi Yehuda, either Rabbi Yehuda Lokasha, there's no stira within Rabbi Yehuda, because kemach v'kolitnan. Because what do we say? What was found in the marketplaces? There was flour, and there was kali, and there was these toasted grains. Meaning, you're not eating either of them. So it's not food, right? It's not you have to process it further. In order to eat that stuff. So therefore, we're not concerned that you're going to eat it. The Gemara says, and the Gemara just points out, oh, the Rav Ashi Bedusa. And Rav Ashi was kind of joking. Right? He wasn't really true. I mean, it was a mistake. Right? Because Hatinach, Mikali Ve'elach, so, meaning, yeah, Inachinami, once you get it to toasted grain, so then that's not something you eat. But I mean, Ikara Adkali, Ma'ikalamimar. But until that point, right, apparently, I don't know, I've never eaten this, but apparently you can eat wheat straight out of the stalk. Right? It's only after you put it in the oven is when it's become something that you're not going to eat anymore and it requires further processing. But apparently you can pop the grain straight from the thing into your mouth. So what are you going to say? So there, apparently. Apparently that is a problem that we're concerned you may eat it. And if you'll tell me that maybe they just did it with their hands, like Rava, maybe you have the same question, because the Mishnah over there said that they did it they didn't do it with their hands, they did it with the kalim. So there's no shinui over there to remind you not to eat the grains that you're picking. Hello, the Ravashi Beduzi, it must be the Ravashi was mistaken, and it was a mistake, and it's not really true. Okay, excuse me. Fine. Now, another question. Again, according to Abaye, we said that people are not separated from chametz, meaning they're used to eating chametz, and therefore we're concerned you may eat it. Is Rabbi Yehuda really going to make a gzera in a case where people are not separated from something, where people are accustomed to doing something? Really, Rabbi Yehuda still is going to make a gzera? That was how we solved it, right? That's it. I'll bring you another case. This Mishnah is in Shabbos, right? Lo yikov adam shuferes shalbeitav v'yimelen hashemen v'yithinah v'tzada ner b'shvil te'imin ha-teves. You shouldn't pop a hole in the bottom of an egg, or an eggshell properly, more accurately, and then fill it with oil and kind of drip it into a candle, into some sort of, right, their candles weren't wax, their candles were like some sort of like Aladdin's lamp, right? You shouldn't make an egg. You shouldn't pop a hole in an egg and fill it with oil and then drip it into some sort of lamp. Because it may, what's it called? So that that'll drip. Meaning that'll drip. Even if it's pottery. Right? Again, we're concerned that you may take out some of the oil. That would be mechayev for mechabe, for one of the malachos and shabbos. For Rabbi Yehuda Matir, Rabbi Yehuda says it's totally fine. Right? Apparently people, but I mean, you see Rabbi Yehuda is not concerned that you may come and take out some oil and do mechabe. But oil is not something that is something people handle all the time. Right? People are not separated from oil, so why wouldn't Rabbi Yehuda, right, say that it's osur? Right? You should make a gzeira because people may come to take it. So Gemara says, ha sa mishum chumra the shabbos mivdol bedile. Right, so it could be that since Shabbos is much more machmir, right, people are very careful on Shabbos, Rabbi Yehuda says that people will separate themselves and you won't be concerned. For Rami, the Shabbos, a Shabbos. And we have a stira with this halacha of Shabbos and another halacha of Shabbos. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, chevel deli shen nifsak. But if you have the rope of a, let's say it's a deli is a bucket that you drop into a well, for example, so if it snaps, so lo ye kosho ela onvo. Right, you shouldn't tie it properly, right, like a real knot, because that's going to be kosher on Shabbos, but you make a bow. Rabbi Yehuda korech alav punda opiskia bilvad. Rabbi Yehuda says you can't even make a bow. You can tie some sort of belt or some sort of piece of clothing around it and tie it together. But you can't make a bow. Because apparently, what do you see? That Rabbi Yehuda says you shouldn't make a bow because you may come to make an actual knot. Right, so kasher Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, kasher Rabbanan, the Rabbanan. Right, so we see that there's a stira between Rabbi Yehuda and the Rabbanan. The Rabbanan in this case are not machmir. The Rabbanan in our case are machmir, that you may come to eat it. Rabbi Yehuda Over here says we're not gozer. Sorry, other way around. Meaning the chachamim by the oil, not in the case of chametz. By the oil, we say that we're nervous that you may come to take out the oil and do mechabe. But over here, we're not concerned that you'll go from tying a bow to tying a real knot. And the Rebbe Chachamim, the Gemara continues and explains it. Sorry, again, I'm jumping in the gun here. Let's just read it in the Gemara and then we'll explain it. Right, so kasher Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda, kasher Rabbanan, Rabbanan. That's the answer. I'm so sorry. Meaning, okay, let's take a step back. The question is that by the oil, the Chachamim were concerned that you may come to take some oil out, therefore you shouldn't use this eggshell to be some sort of feeder and drip it into the lamp. And Rabbi Yehuda said it was mutter. Maybe he's not concerned that you may come to take some out. And here, right, we're saying that according to the Chachamim, you can make a bow, and we're not concerned that that will lead you to make a proper knot. And Rabbi Yehuda says you cannot make a bow, seemingly implying that he's not, that he is concerned that it will make you lead, that will lead you to make a proper knot. So Gemara says, Derabanan adrabanan, lo kasha. No, there's no steer in the Rabbanan Shita, because Shem b'shem mechraf, aniv b'kshira lo mechraf. But you might get confused between oil and oil. Meaning, oil is the same olive oil or whatever oil you're using in the eggshell is the same oil you're using throughout the year. Right, so you may come to take some oil for your food or whatever it is. Right, you may come to take some oil and kind of smear it on your pita or whatever it is, and then you may get concerned. You may confuse the two. Meaning, this oil that's used for fuel and the oil that you use for eating is the same, so you may come to confuse them. But tying in a bow, tying in a proper knot, no one's going to confuse the two of those. According to the Chachamim, therefore, there's no need for exam. Rabbi Yehuda lokasha, there's no steer between Rabbi Yehuda shita, because tamid Rabbi Yehuda lav mishum de gazraniva de kshira. Because the whole reason Rabbi Yehuda says that tying a bow is usher is not because you may come to tie a knot. It's because ala mishum de gazraniva gufa kshirahi. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that tying a bow is kosher. That is usher on Shabbos, is as if you're making a permanent knot. But it's not a gzera, it's a dindaraisa. It's an actual iser that he holds that to be kosher, and therefore it is usher. Okay, the Rami Rabbanan the Rabbanan, and we have another stereo between the Rabbanan. That's not like we learned in the Mishnah. Kosher dili b'psiskiya avalo b'chevel. You can tie a bucket with some sort of belt, but not with a rope. Meaning, because you want the belt back, so you're not going to leave it there. But a rope, you're obviously going to leave it there, so that's not going to be permanent. Rabbi Dematir, Rabbi Yehuda says no. You can even tie the bucket with a rope. So Gemara says, first of all, just chevel demai. What kind of rope are we talking about? Ilem chevel de alma. If you're using a regular rope, so Rabbi Dematir kesher shel kayamahu. Wait, what are you talking about? Well, Rabbi Yehuda says you can tie an actual rope around this bucket. It's for sure going to be a kesher shel kayam. That's going to be a permanent knot. Devade asu livtule, because for sure you're going to leave it there. Right? That's going to be asu midaraisa. There's no way Rabbi Yehuda would say that's mutter. It's alapshita de gardi. Must be that it's a rope. A gardi is a weaver, so it's meaning it's a much less thick, serious rope. I mean, it's much smaller and flimsy rope. So since you're not going to leave that rope there, so then it's not a kesher shel kayama. It's fine. That's Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbanan and the Rabbanan hold that chevel de gardi ato chevel ba'alma. Right. So that's gonna the Rabbanan goes there that if you use a lousy rope, that may come to make you use a regular rope. Meaning in that in the case we are going to be gozer, but chevel b'chevel. That's the answer. My bad. Again, I'm jumping the gun a little bit. So what's the deal? Meaning by the case of this bucket, so we're concerned that you may confuse a small rope with a regular rope. But by the type of tying, we didn't say that you'd be confused between a bow and a regular knot. So what's the deal? The Gemara says in. So the Gemara says, yeah, you're right. Chavo b'chavo mechlef. Person could get confused with different types of ropes. But anivim kshir lo mechlefa. But it's not true. The people are not going to get confused between a bow and an actual knot. So therefore, there's no need to make a gzera. Okay. Another question. I mean, the same question we had before, but another one. Meaning that we had on the flip side, right? We had anywhere where someone is not separated from something, there's Rabbi Yehuda really making gzeira. Now we're asking, any place where people are separated from something, Rabbi Yehuda is not going to make a gzera. Meaning any time where you're not involved in something, right? Like that's what we said before by chadash, that people are not eating chadash, so therefore we don't need to make a gzera. So is that really true? Right, we don't need to make a gzera according to Rabbi Yehuda. But Tanya with the Rabbi, b'chor she'och zodam. If you have a b'chor of an animal that is has some issue, some sort of blood issue. Afilu humeis, even if it's life threatening, ain makizim lo dam. We don't let you let blood. You know, back in the day, they used to do bloodletting as some sort of healing mechanism. So you're not allowed to do the bloodletting. They didn't. What are we concerned here? Meaning, because the kohen may make it a mum. If they did it with a bechor, is that you have to give the firstborn animal to a kohen. Kohen gets to eat it, gets to take care of it, meaning it's a korban, and then he eats whatever's left. But if there's a mum, so then it doesn't go on the kohen, it doesn't go on the mizbeach, and the kohen gets everything. So where they were concerned that maybe that the kohen would make an actual mum in the animal, and therefore he would get to keep it. Right, so doing the bloodletting, you can do it without making a mum. But there's exactly where they were concerned, right? The Brisa was saying, the Mishnah is saying, Brisa is saying that you shouldn't, maybe it is a Mishnah, yeah, the Bach changes it to a Mishnah in Bechoros. Okay, either way. But the Mishnah is saying that if you need to do bloodletting, right, Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to do bloodletting because you may come to make an actual mum in the animal, and that's a problem. The Chum say, no, do your bloodletting, but don't make it a mum. Apparently, Rabbi Yehuda is gozer, right? Even though you're not allowed to, you know, you're badal mineh, you're definitely people. You're not involved in this stuff, in bloodletting or whatever. But since you may come to do an actual mum, Rabbi Yehuda is gozer. So, why is Rabbi Yehuda not gozer in our case? By the chadash, as Gemara says, hasam over there, mitoch she'adam bahul. Since a person is kind of like all messed up and all concerned, al mamono about the money, aminan ishar slay b'makom she'in osim b'mum, right? Asi l'mevad b'makom she'osim b'mum, right? We're concerned. A person will rationalize, unfortunately, to save his money. If it's a monetary thing, right? The kohen gets all the bechor if there's a mum. He doesn't get all the bechor if there's no mum. So it's a money thing. People are concerned. We're chashud about people about their money. So you may come to make a mum, right? If you look at Rashi al mamono kohen zeh bahol al bechor shelo yomis, right? And obviously he doesn't want it to die, right? Because if he dies, then he loses everything, right? So he's gonna do more than he should in terms of the bloodletting, and maybe that will come to make a mum, right? We're not choshes that kohanim are rishayim, right? That's not. I apologize if I gave that impression. We're not choshes that the kohanim are gonna do it on purpose, right, to mess it up and therefore gain monetarily, but we're concerned that in his haste to make sure the animal doesn't die, he may come to inflict a mum upon the animal. The Rabbanan hold no. Kosher came the Elo Shars led Klal as Lemevan. If you don't let him do anything, so then maybe he would in his nervousness to save the entire cow, to save his entire investment. So then he may come to make some sort of incision that will cause a mum. The Gemara says, one second. Does Rabbi Yehuda really hold that people are really get meshuggah about their money, and therefore they'll violate something? That's not another mission on Beitza. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Mekadrin Habehema Beyontov Vepneshu Osachabura. Right? We don't, what's it called in an animal? How do you Mekadrin? You don't comb. Right? You don't use a comb on an animal. Because you may, right, Rashi doesn't help it because he has some word in French, but if I'm not mistaken, you're not allowed to comb an animal on Shabbos because you might make a wound. Avo makartzen, but meaning makartzen, right? If you look at Rashi, it's a different way of combing. You're allowed to comb with a softer comb and not an actual comb, right? Back in the day, the combs, I assume, were metal or something. So something that would make a wound, I don't know, a wooden or a metal or whatever it is. So you're allowed to use a soft brush, but not a hard brush. You can't do either one. What are those things? The kidur is small types of, what do you call it? What's the end of a brush? I forget already. It has small thistles or bristles or whatever, and it could make a wound. And kirtzuf gadol v'eino tzachaburuch, kirtzuf is a bigger comb, meaning the bristles are bigger, I guess, They wouldn't make a chavura. So anyway, either way, you see the Rabbi Yehuda says you're allowed to use this big comb. We're not concerned that you might use the small bristles. Right? If you can use the big bristles, but you can't use the small bristles, and we're not even concerned that if you use the big bristles, you'll come to use the small ones. So we see over here that Rabbi Yehuda is not going to make a gzera, even though here we're concerned about your animal, concerned about its health, right? And get rid of what is it? It's like stuff that's stuck onto the animal, right? We're not concerned about the animal's health. There's some sort of health issue with the animal, but we're still not gozer that you may come to use a more intense brush. So the question is hasam ishavik lemais, because there, by the case of the bechor hasam over there, if you leave it alone, right, it's ill, it's going to die. So I'm reading other mono. So therefore, we're going to say, yeah, a person's going to go a little nuts. He may make do too much bloodletting and make a mum. But over here, ishavikli tzar ba'almahu. If you leave it over here, apparently this wasn't a case of life threatening for the animal. It was just painful, some sort of illness, whatever it was. So therefore, we don't say that there's going to be a person's going to go nuts and use the more intense brush. And lo, I mean, another ball. We don't say a person is going to go crazy over his money. From Yehuda, I mashna gabi chametz de gazer, mashna gabi kartzu of the lo gazer. So what's the difference, according to Rabbi Yehuda, between chametz, where he says you're not allowed to do, right, and we started where you're not allowed to do a vidika after it's aser, but by this comb, right, we don't make exera. So Gemara says lechem v'lechem michlof. Apparently, the brushes were different enough that a person is not going to get confused, is not going to switch between the soft brush and the thick brush. But by bread, obviously, right? Bread is we eat bread all the time, so a person might get confused and pop some bread into his mouth. Okay, new Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chamesh B'Sorfim B'Tchilas Sheish. What is the process? What is the procedure on Erev Pesach? So Rabbi Meir says you're allowed to eat chametz all the entire fifth hour, and then you start burning. You do bir chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour, right? And after the sixth hour, as we said, that's when it's aser midaraisa. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says ochlin kol arba. You can only eat the entire fourth hour, but tolin kol chamesh, and you can, and it's suspended. Literally, it's hanging in the fifth hour, right? You can neither eat it nor burn it. Rashi says you're allowed to give it to your animals. That's what you can do with the chametz. But sorfim b'tchilas shesh, and then you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. So they agree about the when you burn it, but the machlokas is in how long you can eat the chametz. Right? And obviously, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. V'od amar Rabbi Yehuda shtechalas shaltod apsulus menachas on gavai tzdava, and more so, Rabbi Yehuda says that there were two chalos of a puzzle, a korban toda. That was hanging out on top of, they put it on top of the Yitztava. The Yitztava was one of the roofs in the Beis HaMikdash. Meaning it was a place where everybody could see. Meaning it was very right outside. I think if I'm not mistaken, right? Rashi, right? Estav Shaya Bahar Abayis, Shasham Yitzkapsev Yoshvin, B'nei Adam. Oh, so maybe it was a place where people could sit. Either way, it was a place in full view of many, many people. It calls Mashu Menachos, anytime the two breads, the two loaves, were hanging out on that roof or bench or whatever it was, Kol Ha'am Ochlin, everybody was allowed to eat chametz. Right? Nitla Achas, right? This is why I said it's something that many people could see. It's probably at the edge of Har Habayis or whatever, looking out over Yerushalayim. Right? They put up these challahs and people could see it. Anytime there were two challahs, they were allowed to eat. Nitla Achas, once they took one challah away, so then Tolin, Velo Ochlin, Velo Sarfin, then they, again, the chametz was suspended, they didn't eat or they didn't burn. And Nitla Shteyan, once both of them were gone, then Hitchilu Kol Ha'am Sarfin, that's when everybody would go and start burning the chametz, right? Again, not that that was what indicated what it was aser. It was like a simon for what time it was during the day. Rabbi Gamliel says chulin necholin kol arba. Rabbi Gamliel says a little different. You're allowed to eat chulin all of 4 hours, but truma kol chamesh. You're allowed to eat truma in the fifth hour. And then Gemara will talk about, right? Again, the truma is different than regular food because you're not actually allowed to actively destroy truma. So therefore, we give you another hour to get rid of it. That's what Rashi says over here. You're not allowed to destroy kudshim with your hands. As long as you're allowed to eat it. So you're given this extra hour. You can't say it's usher, meaning to usher to eat. We're going to give you a little bit more time to eat it so we don't actually go and destroy it. Then you burn at the beginning of the sixth hour. Okay, now it's not awesome. Now this is going to be a long discussion that goes on to the back. I think it's the the end of tomorrow's daf. We're just going to go to the end of today, but basically we're going to quote a Mishnah. Mishnah is in Sanhedrin, I think, if I'm not mistaken. Sanhedrin, yeah. About dinei nefashos. And the question is simply going to be, how long do we give a person to make a mistake in the times? Right, back in the day, they didn't have watches. So right, you're looking at the sun or the sundial or whatever it is, trying to figure out what hour it is. So our Mishnah says, right, again, it's Asar Nid Chametz at the end of the sixth hour. So Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir back up the Isser Chametz, right, presumably so that you don't mess up, right? You don't come to eat Chametz when it actually was Asar. The question is, how long is it for, well, how long do we say that a person is going to make a mistake with the time? Seemingly, from this Mishnah, the Gemara is going to ask, right, it seemingly, it's much less. Back in the day, they were able to tell a time between, you know, between, let's say, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, right? We'll see the examples in a second. But, you know, you couldn't be actually precise. They didn't have watches. But you can get a basic gist of what hour of the day it was. So why, the Gemara, eventually, tomorrow, the question will be, why do we leave so much time, an hour according to Rabbi Meir, 2 hours according to Rabbi Yehuda, between the Zman Isser, that's the Oraisa, and the Dinder Rabbanan of not eating Chametz a couple hours before. So why do you give it so much time, right? You should leave less time, because people are not going to make a mistake between, for example, the fourth hour and the seventh hour of the day. So either way, that's going to be the question. Just keep it in the back of your mind, because this is going to take a while, and it's a totally different context. So Tzad Hasser, we learned in the Mishnah over there. And the case is by Edus, by testimony for a capital crime. If two people come and say, I saw Reuven kill Shimon, so the question is, their Edus, their testimony has to check out. And they both have to say it was at the same time of the day, they were, you know, et cetera, et cetera. So if one guy says it happened at 4 in the morning, one guy says it happened at 12 at night, so then obviously they're talking about different things. So that's what the Mishnah is going to talk about. Echad Omer Mishnayim B'chodesh V'Echad Omer Mishlosha. If one guy says it happened on the second day of the month, and one guy says it happened on the third day of the month, so the Mishnah says, Edus and Kayemes, that's good Edus. Why? Because maybe they simply didn't know when Rosh Chodesh was. Could be that month was extended to 30 days, and the other guy didn't hear of it. So one guy knows, yes, today is the second day of the month, and the other guy thinks it's the third day of the month, because they didn't hear that they extended the previous month 30 days. Okay. Echad Omer B'Shloshev, Echad Omer B'Hei. If one guy says it happened on the third of the month, one guy says it happened on the fifth of the month, so then he do some betela. Then that's no good because the murders happen on different days. Echad Omer B'Shloshev, meaning no one's going to make a mistake between the third and the fifth. Could be the third and fourth because you didn't hear about Rosh Chodesh, but third and the fifth for sure is no good. Echad Omer B'Shloshev, Echad Omer B'Shloshev. If one guy says it happened 2 hours into the day, one guy says it was 3 hours into the day, so then he do some kayemes, that's fine. People are able to make a mistake between those two numbers. Echad Omer B'Shloshev, Echad Omer B'Chamesh, but 3 to 5, if it's then Edus and Betela, then it's no good. Devir Rabbi Meir, then Rabbi Meir says that Edus is not acceptable. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Edus and Kayemes. Rabbi Yehuda says no, that's fine. Echad Omer, okay, what about Echad Omer B'Chamesh, Echad Omer B'Sheva? Let's say someone said it happened in the fifth hour of the day, someone said it happened in the sixth hour of the day, then Edus and Betela, then it's not good Edus. Why? Shevi Chamesh, Chamesh, Chama B'Mizrach, U'B'Sheva, Chama B'Marav. Because that you can't mess up, because the sun is in different places, right? It's between third and the fourth hour, the sun is in the east, so you could make a mistake. Between the fifth hour, the sun is in the east, and the seventh hour, the sun is already in the west. So that's not good, that's not going to work out. Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Kishitin Salom, the Devar Rabbi Meir, Ein Adam Toa Velo Klum, the Devar Rabbi Yehuda, Adam Toa, Chatz Yisho. Abaye explains that it's not actually a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda in terms of 1 hour and 2 hours. It's really that Rabbi Meir holds that people will not make any mistake whatsoever in the time, and Rabbi Yehuda says that a person could make a mistake up until half an hour. How does that work? And then we'll just talk, and then we'll go on tomorrow. We'll leave it for tomorrow. The different Rebbe Meir, Ein Adam Toa Velo Klum, a person doesn't make any mistake in terms of the timing, right? There's no room for leeway in terms of different times. Because Maisa, there's a story, to illustrate, there was a story, B'mefach Tarti Umayel Tlos, that it was at the end of the second hour and at the beginning of the third. Right, not that there's a story, but we assume that the Maisa, that the story that they're talking about, right, when one guy says it was the second hour, one guy says it was the third hour, it was really at the end of the second and the beginning of the third. That's basically the same exact time. So they just illustrated it differently. Right, and when the guy said it was at the second hour, it was at the end of the second hour. And when the guy said it was the third, it was at the beginning of the third. So that's how we know Rabbi Meir holds there's really no leeway for a mistake in time. Right? They're just simply describing the same action at the same time in two different ways. The Divrei Rabbi Yehuda Adam Toa Chatzi Shoah. Right, how do you know that a person only makes a mistake with half an hour? Maisa, we say that the story that happened, Ki Hava V'Palga De Arba De Hava, happened at 4.5 hours. Right, meaning in the middle of the fourth. And V'Hadik Amar Shalosh, and the guy who said it happened at the third hour, B'Sof Shalosh, he really means it happened at the end of the third hour, meaning at 3 hours and 59 minutes. V'Katai Palga De Shaita. And he made a mistake with half an hour. Meaning that's how much leeway you have. If I had the Gamar Chamesh, and the guy who says it happened in the fifth hour, B'tchilas Chamesh, he's talking about the 5:01, the beginning of the fifth hour, V'katayi palga d'shaita l'achorea, and he made a mistake with half an hour previously. But really, they were both talking about the same exact time. They just made a mistake, half an hour in one direction and half an hour in another direction. Okay, we're gonna pick this up. This is a long discussion. We'll pick this up tomorrow. It's Hashem. So have a great day or night, depending on where you're listening to this.